we've got Tyler Ardron alongside us. He is captain of the Canadian senior men's rugby team. Tyler, welcome to our spacious studio.
Thank you very much.
You were very good. You put up with the Rash's obligatory joke about deflated
balls.
Deflated balls, which I kind of figured was...
Well, the ball says 9 to 10 PSI, but you were saying it doesn't really matter in rugby. If the ball is deflated a little bit
already.
Or inflated a little too much.
It says 9 to 10. We're not going exact.
We're not
There's
going
a
exact.
A little bit of room in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Plus it's autographed.
Yes. I didn't want you to get him in trouble. I just kind of threw that out there as an open.
But if the ball is inflated or deflated in rugby, does it make a significant difference?
Well, not to me because I don't kick. But
right.
If you kick, then it might, yeah.
Tyler, tell us a little bit about, first of all, about the Pan Ams. That are coming up. Where does that fit into the? I just don't want this to roll away. Where does that kind of fit into the annual calendar for you?
Yeah, well, personally, I'm not able to do that one just because the World Cup coming up and just coming off the back of a long season over in Europe. So I'm gonna have to miss it this time, which is unfortunate. I was lucky enough to be at the last one and to win a gold medal with Canada there. So that was a pretty special event. But I know the Sevens team is going full strength with all the boys that have been preparing all year. So they'll be set up well. And I think it's been marketed so well here and it's looking good.
I guess I meant in terms of your development, because Donovan Bailey made the point we were talking to him that for him, you know, the Pan Am Games was kind of, it was sort of his first. He said it was his first kind of international success, right? It was the first time that people looked at him, and he said even though it was a Pan Am Games, he did have a medal from it, and people took notice of him. How did it fit into sort of your progression as a player? Because you said he played at the last Pan Am Games. Your progression as a player to the point where you're now, you know, you're playing internationally, and you're also playing over and playing for Ospreys.
Yeah, it was sort of a different experience, really. It was my first like multi-sporting event like that, which you get to live in the athlete's village and you get to see how different individuals and teams train, which is a huge help for us. I think we took a lot from that. Being a team sport, you have the encouragement of those guys with you every weekend, but going to the Pan Am Games and watching all the individual athletes prepare and they have to do that all themselves, you kind of take something from that. And I mean, yeah, like Donovan Bailey, guys like that have been to Pan Am Games. It's definitely a really good competition and something you can learn a lot from.
And now the Olympics await.
Yeah, exactly. So that's obviously top priority for all the Sevens guys in Canada and around the world is to get that qualifying spot in June next year.
What does that mean for the sport, Tyler, that, you know, at the Olympic Games, rugby is now going to be part of it?
It's huge. I mean, just the interest it draws up in a country like Canada is so big for the sport. But I mean, when you come down to guys in their 20s and 30s playing sport, money starts to become an issue. And when you get into the Olympics, there's a lot more backing from the government and different sponsors and partners. So that in itself has allowed people to maybe put off going to work for a couple of years and focusing on rugby and getting to the Olympics.
So you just turned 24 a couple of weeks ago. And we were talking off camera before. I'm just fascinated how there are a number of Canadians overseas playing pro rugby. What was your path to go from a guy who was studying at McMaster or playing rugby at McMaster, one of the two, or maybe both, to ending up as a pro player overseas?
Yeah, I think it really did take off for me when I started to get to university. The rugby isn't quite at the level that we want it to be or should be for that age of player, but the sports science and everything like that at universities like McMaster is top notch. So I was able to use that and start to just kind of transition into a bit of sevens and a bit of 15s with Rugby Canada. Started moving out west in to Langford near Victoria, which is where the COE is, the Center of Excellence for Rugby Canada, and I was able to start training there on a full-time basis and really get my image and name out to the international market. And that's how I ended up getting a team over in Wales where I am now.
How did they approach you? You know, what was that approach like? Did they seek you out, or once you got out there internationally, I mean, did you have an agent who looked after that for you, or how did that come about?
I did have an agent. I really did want to finish, believe it or not. I was studying sometimes.
There you
and,
go.
So I did want to.
I'm a Bishop's alum. We didn't do much of that when I was there.
I went to the University of Manitoba, so we don't discuss graduation.
There you go.
Yeah, so I did tell my agent that I wanted to focus that one more year, which I have three classes left, so I'm getting there slowly now. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to focus, get that last year done, and then take my rugby career and start focusing on that. But yeah, teams did start to contact me. Canada did quite well for a couple of years there. We were getting recognized, and a few players were getting the same opportunities. So I did have a few opportunities come in a few days before the last day to sign mm-hmm. was. And I just kind of talked to a couple people, and the organization I'm with now is they just made me feel very welcome, and it made the transition pretty easy.
Is there a characteristic of a Canadian rugby player? You know, I mean, we like to always associate everything to hockey. I mean, Cherry.
Maybe you do.
Well, some of it. John Terry talked about, boy, Josh Donaldson, he plays baseball like a hockey player, yada, yada. But beyond that, is there a characteristic of a Canadian rugby player?
Resilient probably is the best way to say it in one word. But we're always undersized, which people don't really consider, because we are quite a big country in terms of most sports. But
you mean physically undersized?
Yeah, just they've been training for rugby since they were younger than us. All the countries we're playing, so they're just bigger and built more for it. But we're known as a really tough team. Like, we're hard to play against. No one's ever going to give up. I've never seen someone in a Canadian jersey ever back down from anything or not work as hard as he possibly could.
What's the craziest thing you've ever seen on the rugby field, man?
If you wanna check out a good YouTube video, you can search my name up and see what Georgia did to us a couple years ago in November.
Oh, yeah?
It did turn into a good 15-on-15-ish. Us getting beat up, really. Yeah.
For people who haven't seen it live, though, haven't seen a top level game live, it's remarkable how, and I think it's one thing that really kind of separates rugby from a lot of sports, it's remarkable how often you think a line's going to be crossed and it doesn't get crossed. And I know it, I understand it's the nature of the game. I understand that, but when you don't watch it all the time and you do watch it, it's always been remarkable to me that that line doesn't get crossed. And it, more often than not, it doesn't, does it?
No, it very rarely. The respect is high.
Why is that?
Well, I think we only have one ref out there, and there's 30 players. So if that wasn't the case, I just don't think the game would function at a high level.
Right.
And nowadays with TMO, is the video replay is on everything. So, I mean, you might get away with it for a minute, but like myself, anyone would gladly take that punch or something stupid to have it come back and mm-hmm. reward your team in the end. So no one's willing to hurt their team by taking a penalty. The same way, you're not going to retaliate because you want the reward for your team.
So you guys have an opportunity to play at home this summer. You open in San Jose, then Vancouver, but there's a triple header here July 29th. You get Samoa under the lights. What do you know about the Samoans, and do they live up to the billing that we have of them?
Oh, they'll exceed it, I think. They probably haven't put together quite this strong of a team ever, I would say. They like any league you play in, the league I'm in, there's Samoans on every team. They're some of the best like physical specimens in the world, I think. Mm-hmm. They're huge, strong, fast, and everybody's available with the World Cup summer right now, so They're gonna put a really strong team out, and it'll be one of the more physical games to happen this year.
And I would think with the World Cup being in England, the Samoans would want to really make a statement, don't they? It's like going over to England and being able to make a statement would be huge for them.
Absolutely, and a lot of them live, whether it's in England, Wales, right, France, like that's their home, and so they've got their families have moved over there with them, and they're gonna have all that support. And there's no doubt, being a smaller Pacific nation, they love that underdog type role, which they're kind of moving out of, but mm-hmm. They'll embrace that for sure.
How special is it going to be to have the Rugby World Cup at Twickenham? And, you know, for someone who plays in Wales, tell us a little bit about the atmosphere and how special that will be.
Oh, that's going to be amazing. If you just look at the first game we have is Ireland at Millennium Stadium, which is just in my backyard,
so
pretty much
Cardiff,
where I live.
Right.
Yeah. And that holds just about 80,000. So like that's almost four times the ACC or something like that. And it's known as the best rugby atmosphere in the world. They can open or close the roof. And if it's closed, you can't hear yourself think.
Mm-hmm.
So having
it's that wild, huh?
I've been to watch games and I've played in games there. Literally, calling a line out or something like that, you have to change your whole game because there's no communication really being made.
So how do you deal with that situation? You know one way of doing something, and then suddenly you're in an atmosphere where that doesn't exist anymore.
It is tough, and you'll see that the game plans do change a little, especially after the first half. Teams will come out a whole different team because if you haven't played in that and experienced that, you do have to adjust. But it's you just kind of use more physical things than vocal and try to adjust that way.
What are the crowds like in Wales when you play for Ospreys? Now, I'm not just talking about size, but are rugby crowds over there? Obviously they're avid fans, but what are they like? Is it noisy? Is it a constant buzz? How would you describe a rugby crowd?
It isn't the constant high of some sports. It is very momentum based, mm-hmm. and that's why being at home. I don't know of another sport, honestly, where home field advantage is quite as important, because when you're rumbling, you start getting in the other team's 22, your crowd comes alive.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing, if another team's throwing a line out in, they'll make as much noise as they can to make that as hard as possible. But it is a very respectful crowd. The whole game is all based around respect. So no matter which team's kicking for points or something like that, the stands will always go quiet and they'll always give you that chance.
When teams are scouting other teams, like when Canada will scout an opponent that you guys might be playing, and when you guys get together before matches and when you go over these things, do you focus on individuals, or is rugby more of a, we've got to focus on what they do as a team? Or are there some players you just have to, you know, you focus on the team, but you've got to be aware of this guy? Like, how would you go about breaking that down?
I think the latter is probably the most applicable to rugby. It's, you do have to worry about what they do as a team, because teams will have patterns whether they really want to or not. There's trends that you'll pick
sure.
up. But like when we play Samoa, they're going to have, I play against their nine the past couple of years in Wales, which their scrum half, and he's world-class, one of the best there is. And if you're anywhere near the ruck when he's got the ball in his hands and you're not paying attention, he'll be behind you before you know it. So guys like that, you're going to have to pick up. So I would say it's a very good balance of the two.
So we have the World Cup coming up next year, the Olympics coming up next year. There might be some kids who are kind of interested in rugby. What kind of impact do you think these next upcoming weeks and months and the next couple of years can make for this sport, Tyler?
I think we can make big inroads. I think if we put on a good spectacle, which we plan to, play exciting rugby and let everybody have fun watching it, as well as really promote the game and show that there are 20-plus guys playing professional, making a living at it. And, I mean, what more can you ask for as an athlete growing up to just go and play a sport and call that your job? So I think if we can just get those messages out there, as well as put on a good sport that people want to come watch, it's going to be huge, and the numbers are just going to keep going.
From what you've seen around the country, is the sport growing? And, you know, we talked about, it's kind of an Ontario sport, a BC sport. Is it growing elsewhere as well?
Yeah, we just had the Canadian Rugby Championships finish up, and the Prairie Wolfpack is the team, and they won it for the first time and knocked off Ontario, who are four-time reigning champs, which is huge, and it shows that places like that, out Calgary, it was hosted, and they have a huge rugby following, and not only are the numbers growing, but the competition's getting that much better that they can really compete.
And I would think, too, that TV has really helped the growth of the game as well, hasn't it? Because, you can watch you can watch world-class rugby as easy as you can watch world-class soccer in Canada. I mean, you don't really have to look for it that much.
Yeah, that helps so much. If you're just flicking through and somebody that's never seen rugby can come across it now, that wouldn't have happened 10 years ago. So all of a sudden, you just get a few new fans that way. And it's a really word-of-mouth game as well, because it isn't quite have the publicity other sports do. So
where's the level of team now, Tyler, compared to where it may have been a few years ago?
We're much more professional is the easiest way. We've not only guys playing professionally now, but just the attitude we've taken. I think rugby had that persona of play the game and then come in and have a beer after and chat with the guys. That definitely still exists in tons of levels all around the world, but at the level we're at now, it's not really an option anymore. It's the same as all the other sports that have gone professional.
Tyler Ardrin is coach of the Canadian men's senior team. Captain, sorry, not coach. He's going to be coach eventually. He's captain of the Canadian men's senior team. Tyler, thanks so much for joining us. Best of luck this summer. Best of luck in the World Championships. And stay healthy.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tyler.